Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coach and Coordinator Podcast in a series which will be running from now until August, which we call All In on Offense. Each week, we'll be joined by an offensive coordinator who will get deep with us on the details of one specific topic. For all the episodes in this series, please be sure to check out our show notes at blogs.usafootball.com. In addition to all the topics we're covering, we'll have some related content, which could be other blogs, videos, or podcasts. Again, check it out at blogs.usafootball.com. We hope you enjoy the series. If you are enjoying the podcast, please remember to head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate or take a minute to write a review. Here we go with our first All In on Offense. Welcome to another episode of the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. Today I'm joined by the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Wildcats, Noel Mazzoni. Coach Mazzoni, always great to have you here.
Keith, always great to be with you. Always good to talk to you Midwestern guys.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it's always just adjusting to that time. I'm not good at the math of subtracting or adding 3 hours to the time. It always messes me up.
It does, doesn't it?
Well, Coach, been a while since we talked. We spent some time together back in, I guess it was February, in Orlando when you came
out. Yeah, in Orlando. I think it was in Orlando.
In Orlando, yeah. We were at some kind of Disney forget that what it was called, Downtown Disney or something like that. We went out to dinner. It was a good time. It was good to have you out there, see you talk some ball, and get out of the cold, at least for me.
Yeah, well, it's only like about 92 here right now in Tucson. So hurry up. Let's get done with this because I got a date at the pool in about an hour, okay?
Absolutely. Well, Coach, let's talk about the install today. And a lot of coaches around the country getting their installation plans together for summer camp here coming up in August. And just with an overview, so for you guys, what does the install look like for you? How many days is it going to take for you to install? And, you know, what is the, I guess, the overall time frame you're looking at?
Okay, so here's, and let me just say this. What, to me, the biggest thing that install helps me with is cutting down volume. We're not a big volume team as far as plays. And I think if you got a game plan on how you install your plays and kind of time frame and what you can handle in an hour and a half or 2 hour practice, to get the amount of reps you need to get, for my players, is that's where the install really helps me as a coordinator. And, so basically we're in a three install rotation. Install one, install two, install three, and then install four. We don't have an install four, but practice four, okay, is kind of a situational practice, or it may be an emphasis practice on something that I feel we need to emphasize at that point. Because early in camp, obviously, you're emphasizing and your mind's on different things than it is in your third week of camp. You know, and we're just talking right now, because we're all done with spring ball. We're getting ready to take a little break here for summer. And then we're all starting to prepare ourselves to come back for two-a-days or fall camp. And so you're looking at, okay, well, how many practices do I have? I've got, 25 practices or whatever it is. And so now I need to gauge my install into that time frame of days. And so that's what the fourth. Then when you come back, install, then we just kind of keep rotating it. All right, so it's install one, install two, install three, kind of always the fourth day or fourth practice is kind of an emphasis practice. Things maybe I think we need to go back and do more of this, or maybe it's a short yard, whatever it is that you need to work on. And then it starts right back up with the fifth practice is install one again, and then continues on through until you, and obviously you don't count scrimmage days, or just a day where it's a walkthrough day. These are like count how many true like football practices you are having where you've got the Indy, you've got Skelly, you've got a team period. Yeah, you've got all those things.
So, Coach, I did reach out on Twitter and ask some coaches to, give me some questions that they'd be interested in this. And one of them came up is, you know, when you're looking at that install, what's the rationale of the order of plays that are installed? So, for example, if inside zone is the first run play installed, you know, why? If it's shallow as the first pass, why? So what do you look at as the reasoning, I guess, on this is going to be the day one and two and three and so on and how those fit together?
Good question. And I think what, you know, I would look back at what at who you are. You know, all of us as coordinators or all of us, you know, whatever type of offense we're running, have a fingerprint. And so basically for me is if I look at just last year, my self scout, and I say, okay, what do I call? I mean, what is my meat potatoes? What's my go-to play? What am I going to build my offense off of? Is it going to be, is it tight zone? Is it stretch? Is it power? Is it pin and pull? Is it whatever the concept is? All right. That's kind of different. You know, that's kind of like girlfriends, right? Everybody's got different tastes. So that's kind of like personal to me. So who are you? Right. And like, I always look at it this way. I've got to be good enough at something that the defense has to know they have to stop it. Okay. I just don't want to be kind of all right at a bunch of things. I want to be good enough at tight zone, or I want to be good enough be a stretch team, or I want to be a gap team or a counter team or whatever it is, right? I want to be good enough that I got to start someplace and the defense knows they have to stop this play because that's who I am, right? So that kind of starts to build my install. So for us, it's tight zone, okay? Inside zone, zone read, zone in tight zone with man schemes, tight zone with arc schemes, whatever it is, all right? And so that's install one. Now I can start building my install off of that. All right, well, what's my play action off that? Okay, it's my show and my snap. What are my RPOs or whatnot? What's my screens off that? What's my play, you know, write down the list on the run game.
So that question was from Josh Wolfram, the head football coach at Willamette High School in Eugene, Oregon. The next one comes
Willamette. It's a great wine country up there. I was at Oregon State for a year.
Coach, you've been everywhere, man. You know the whole country.
Yeah, well, I've been a couple places. Not Ohio, though.
No, not Ohio. The next question comes from Ty Hyatt. He is the offensive coordinator at Shepherd University in West Virginia, and he wanted to know, as far as that install of the base, how long before you really then started putting it into situational football down and distance? I know on one of our podcasts, you and I talked about, you know, the game planning and, you know, really spending a lot of time on first and second down and then, you know, the thirds. So for you, when is it
okay,
the situational?
So look at it. Yeah. So look at it this way. Okay. Let's just look at install one as your entire offense. Okay. If you're on a desert island, this is all you got. This is the only plays you can call. Okay. So I'm just going to give you our example. So for us, it's tight zone. All right. So the different ways we can run tight zone, either with a tight end, without a tight end, with a zone read or a man scheme, et cetera. All right. So now I'm going to build my install off of that. Okay. Then I'm going to do the same thing with my passing game. Okay. Let's just say install one is four verts and caddy, which is our 95 or Y over play. Okay. And then maybe it's a quick game of stick and double slant or whatever. Right. So I'm going to build myself just basically a mini game plan. Right. So this is like your whole offense. That install one is like your whole offense. Okay. Then what I'm a firm believer in is that I don't wait till week two to start thinking about third down or week two to start thinking about red zone or goal line. Okay, so out of that game plan right there, now I'm going to start tagging the ones, all right, I like this in third and medium. I like this in third and long. Hey, here's my tight red zone play out of this install. All right, now sometimes you may have, in some installs, you may only have a handful. In other installs, you may have more, all right, but that doesn't matter. So I may have two third and medium plays and maybe three third and shorts and, you know, maybe – you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
I'm building the whole game. I'm building my whole offense just out of that one install. All right. Then when I go to install two, I do the same thing. So basically I have three installs that are basically three basically game plans. All right. And so that's how I kind of attack practice, is I kind of make a call sheet off of my install. All right. Write out whatever plays around my install one. I make a call sheet, put on the same call sheet I use on game day. And that's how I call practice. And I go to install two. I do the same thing. All right. Now, just to kind of tell you, so when I come back the second time, all right, and install one, obviously I'm trying to limit this to about a total of 20, 25 plays that's getting called in that whole install. All right. So now when I come back the second time, I come back and I hit say install 1B, that was install 1A, and I come back install 1B, nothing changes on concepts. Okay. I'm not going to add concepts or add another pass route concept or, a different run concept or anything like that, or a screen concept. All right. All I'm going to do is I'm going to look at it and I'm going to change the presentation of that play. So now that call sheet will be the same, all the same concepts, but the presentation of the plays will be different on my call sheet. Example. See, I was going to, one of my passes was mesh. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's just go four verse. Okay. Say, okay, install one. I got four verse. And so under four verse, I'm going to run it solely out of 3x1 sets. Okay. On install one. So if I call a vert that day, it's only out of 3x1. Okay. Now install 1B, when I come back, okay, I'm still in my vert install, my Viper install. Okay. The only way I'm calling, four verts that day is 2x2 sets. So the quarterback's not throwing 3x1 and 2x2 on the same day. All right. All he's got to focus on is I'm getting good at throwing four verts out of 2x2 sets all day on this install. All right. And that just kind of goes back and forth as every time. So you should hit, if it works out good, you should hit install one three times. You should install two three times and install three times. Now, the fourth practice and the ninth practice and whatever it is, 13th practice or whatever, when it's kind of emphasis day, okay, if you're not getting enough reps or something, that's when I'm going to pick up some reps on some things I don't think we're good enough at. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I got a good question here asking about technique, and this is from Curtis Peterson, Indianapolis, Indiana. And he's asking about, the emphasis of technique in these. And I remember watching, I think we were talking about the snag play, and you must have spent 10 or 15 minutes just talking through the technique and how you teach that certain technique for your guy running that snag. And so there is a technique focus within your offense. I think, some guys can lean too heavy on getting into the scheme. So how do you find that balance, making sure that you're getting all the fundamentals you need to execute the offense at a high level?
So as if we're just talking receivers. So like the two basic rules our receivers have are find the grass and take the grass. So that's kind of good. Now you got to give them parameters. All right. Where do you fit in the concept? So we teach a lot on concept of the play. Not so much as, okay, take four steps to the up vertical, take two steps right, take three steps left. Hey, then do this. I don't want them playing like robots. All right. I want them to understand, okay, here's what we're trying to accomplish with this concept. Okay. And that's the whole point of not having too much volume. Okay. If you're a big volume offense, which I've been in big volume offenses, then you have to be geared more that way. You've got to be very, very detail oriented on steps and landmarks and all those type of things. Where here we're looking and trying to find the grass. Okay. And the other thing is why it's not too much, why you don't want too much volume is the more the kid runs it, the better he's going to get. Like the saying we use around here is the old Bruce Lee saying, right? Don't practice 10,000 kicks once, practice one kick 10,000 times.
Right.
So that's what we want to do. We want to practice that kick 10,000 times. So if it's a snag route, I want to brand it so much when it's our Chevron Exxon day, all right, when our snag game installation, that now we can coach that thing off film, and the kids start to understand is, why am I running this route? I don't know if that answered his question, but.
That does, and I think it answers the question of Jarrett Troxler, who's the co-offensive coordinator for the Massillon Tigers. You know anything about Massillon football, Coach? Paul Brown?
I sure the hell do. That's like the cradle of football right there.
Absolutely. So that was his question, was finding that balance of making sure that you don't install too much. I think you answered that there. And here's the interesting thing. I'm looking at his Twitter, and you just mentioned Bruce Lee. His pinned tweet is a picture of Bruce Lee. It says, I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times. Man,
there,
how
you
about
go.
That?
That's Massillon.
Massillon
football.
Those guys
know ball up there.
They do, man. That's an incredible place. Moving forward, this is kind of a step back, and I know you have a lot of high school clients running this, and so this next question is from Jacob Morris from Dry Ridge, Kentucky, and his question is, you know, looking at that from the perspective, you got a team that's not two platoons, so you got guys going both ways. So this is kind of thinking from the high school level, you know, in that kind of approach, is that, I guess, cutting back what you do and doing it in a three-day install, or is that maybe spreading that install out because you don't have as much time each day?
So kind of explain that to me, Keith. What he's asking is, he doesn't have a lot of guys.
Yeah, he doesn't have the two platoon, right. So they don't necessarily have as much time because they're splitting their time between O and D. So in those kinds of situations, how would you attack that from, you know, the logistics of the install?
So when we got fired at the New York Jets, in kind of where I started all this, and I went and I took a job at Panther Creek High School in Cary, North Carolina, as the offensive coordinator. And we were that same way. We had, 32 kids on the football team. Not a lot of kids. And that's when we kind of started this whole, you know, install, not a lot of volume. Because let's just say, and I don't know, all high schools are different. Let's just say in small schools, a lot of times your kids work offense on one day and defense on the next day or whatever, you know, cause you don't have the time. So that to me even makes it even more valuable that if I've got a lot of volume, I would never feel like I got enough practice of the plays if I'm very limited with players. All right. In time. So I'm even cutting down what I'm putting in each install more. Okay. And then what I used to do when I didn't have, you know, like a lot of depth was, then I worked in tempo and teach periods. So in other words, my team was, hey, teach, okay, walkthroughs, okay, walkthrough, because that doesn't tire you out. Then tempo, I think, then stop, and now let's have another walkthrough. All right, here we're gonna walk through these six plays we're gonna run. Okay, let's walk through them. You know, get everybody to walk through them. Hey, now we're gonna go tempoed on that. Now let's come back. Okay, here's the screen game or here's the quick game. Let's walk through it. All right, let's tempo it. So yes, you do have to gear it, especially if you're not too platooned and you don't have a lot of kids to be less than more.
Coach, the next one kind of goes along with that idea of teaching, and Justin D'Ottavio, who is a coach in North Carolina, wants to know your philosophy on the playbook. Do you give out a playbook? Are you giving out just huddle cut-ups? And how much film work would you do? Especially, let's, again, take your high school situation versus your college situation. How much film work are you doing with these guys?
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this now. What's changed is, you get on the team bus, okay, and going to a game, how many of your kids are sitting there reading a book?
Zero.
Or you go home and your kids at home, how many of your own kids are sitting in their room reading a book? They're not, right?
He's on that phone,
They're on that phone. They're watching YouTube. They're watching video. They're playing Madden. I mean, that's their world, okay? So we have to live in that world. So basically, it's, I'm not building a playbook. I'm building a video so visually these guys can see what. And it may be I pulled a play off of the TV that I DVR'd that Alabama ran or something, right? And I'm going to put that in the video clip, in the video cut up for my players to watch. So I'm going to try to build as much visual stuff as I can. anything that goes on paper to my guys, they write it. Okay. Because it's the teacher guys who know about learning, right? If you write it, what was it? See it, write it, read it.
Yep.
You know, I mean, those are the best ways for you to learn. So they're going to get a blank spiral. And when we start install, they build their own playbook. And believe me, the second meeting or third meeting, I'm going to walk over to Joey and grab his spiral notebook, and I'm going to look at it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to have them all into me. All right. It's just, you know, I'm going to teach them. All right. To write things down. As soon as you write it down, all right, it starts to go into the memory bank. And so, you know, and the more detailed when you draw a route, like when my receivers or quarterbacks draw a route, they just, I mean, you actually got to start, like when I first got here, usually with my guys, first thing I got to teach them how to just draw the circles right, to draw the formation, right? You know, and okay, here's the formation. I want to force them to become as detailed as they can when they put it on the paper, all right? And then make themselves notes. And, you know, this is a 12 yards. Hey, here's my alert. Here's my first progression. Hey, verse cover two, I do this. So they build their own playbook.
Coach, I know when we were in Orlando, we had A.J. Smith with us. And he's got the VAR systems.
Yes, the VR guy.
Yep, and I know, I believe you're speaking at his one back clinic here coming up soon. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
So the second part of that question, the coach asked, how much VR are you using? I know you've done it before. What are you doing with that now?
We have it. We have it, and here's what I found out with it. I think it's a great tool, okay? The only downside I see is, all right, is that you as a coach have to commit to it, and you have to build time in your schedule to spend with the VR. All right. Now, some of my quarterbacks, they love it. So they'll get it on them. They'll get on it themselves a lot. All right. But a lot of times when you've got 45 minutes for a meeting or half an hour or an hour before you got to go to practice or whatever, all right, there's really not enough time to get your install done, watch the 7-on-7, watch the team, and then get, you know, plus with the VR in there. And so I think it's awesome stuff. I think it's a great teaching tool, but I think you have to say, okay, here's this 15 minutes or this day of the week, we're going to do nothing but sitting here and watch VR. And usually it has to be, the kid has to be kind of a self-starter, the quarterback, or usually the guy using it. All right. If he's a guy that loves it and likes it and uses it, then it's really good. So I have found that the quarterbacks that just kind of embrace it and love doing it, they get a lot out of it. Some of the guys just, you know, they just don't kind of get into it. So it's kind of a personal thing.
Coach, talking about the install again and thinking about maybe some of those things that are a little bit more difficult for guys to catch on because of the timing, maybe some of the technique. You know, day one, we're going to get inside zoning. We're going to be pretty good at that right away. That's what we do. But are there things that you see take a little bit more time to gel, to come together, that are really not looking like you need them to, you know, maybe it's install two or maybe it's install three, but later down the line for you in your mind, what are those types of plays that maybe take a longer time?
Yeah. Anytime your plays start to become very wordy and, you know, you're trying to change splits. You want to change the splits of the Z or the back. You want the back to line up someplace different. Anything that's out of the norm to your players, those are the things that take more time, obviously. You know, we run out and call dual right Zorro or LA or whatever. I mean, those guys, they do that. I mean, they're going to line up like that and not even think about it. But as soon as you start saying, hey, I need you in, you know, trio right, bunch, zip, exit, you know, T comet, you know, and you start, as soon as it becomes more and more words, then obviously you have to spend more and more time at those plays. Scheme wise or schemes, you know, Obviously, it's a lot easier to run inside zone tracks, and there's a little more coaching or a little more reps involved in counter or, you know, things like that, or screens, you know. But I haven't found that I treat them all the same. I don't think they're bad. So our answer is, as soon as the play becomes more than 3 to 4 words, we're gonna right away start to give that play a one word tag. So instead of saying, you know, hey, trio ride, 13P sleet X gift or something like that, we're just gonna call that play, you know, San Diego. And to be honest with you, the kids learn that a lot faster than they do whenever you just have to call, you know, 4 things they have to remember.
We talked about that in one of our conversations, that idea that for you, you're going to install you're going to read the whole book first, then you're going to give them the cliff notes. In other words, you will teach the structure of the play within how it's named in your system, but then you'll go to the one word call. So is that right away for some of those things, or is that over the course of your install that you see this play for us is going to be a run a lot this year? This is getting a one word call. What's your approach to?
Well, I'm looking at right now my install one. So, you know, obviously tight zone. So then right below I got, all right, well, train right, arrow, brown blade, doubles left, Zorro bolt. You know, those are kind of calls, right? Okay. So then I go look right below there to my one word or tempo plays, and install one day one, they're getting the one word play. Now I'm going to tell them, okay, hey, we're going jet zombie. All right. Jet zombie. They're going to know that's dual right or dual left, Zorro or Zulu, key one bubble to the field. Okay. That's what the play is. And then, you know, I'm going to tell them that's what the play is, but hey, we're just calling that jet zombie. So yes, it goes in day one with the guys. So we don't wait and, hey, and then 2 weeks down the road say, hey, by the way, we're going to call this something. We're going to call it this play. I'd rather have the 2 weeks of them hearing jet zombie and knowing that's the play than not.
Right. Coach, another aspect of offense is the gimmick stuff, the trick plays, the stuff that you're going to pull out at a key time. We're at certain points during the season, not going to necessarily get a lot of reps in the game, maybe running those things once, twice, maybe 3 times over the course of the year. What's your approach for putting those in the installation? Are those things you're going to touch on right away, or are you waiting till all the, I guess, base offense is installed?
Okay, so if I was just to kind of give you an abbreviated version, so what's an offense? Well, offense has a run. Okay, so let's get our runs in, install one. Okay, it's going to have a play action off those runs. Okay, let's get our play action. Okay, it's going to have a screen, probably off some pass. All right, let's get our screen. Let's get our pass concepts. All right, let's get a reverse. And let's get a trick play. Okay, so install one, day one, should have the reverse that you're going to use out of tight zone blocking scheme. Okay, maybe install three, we're in counter. Maybe install three is a counter day. We're getting a lot of that's kind of a counter install day. Okay. Well, that day, that reverse is going to be out of the counter scheme. So we teach it, right? So like I said, you got to look at install one like a total game plan. If you're going to have a reverse in your game plan during the game, then you need to have a reverse in install one. If you're going to have a double, if you want a double pass off of some key screen or something that you're off of your fake and tight zone, then that double pass, that gimmick play or special play ought to be an install one. So then I don't want to wait till the week before the first game and go, we need a reverse. Who's got a good reverse, right? I want to come up with a good reverse this summer. So install one, my guys start running the reverse. And now you feel good about calling it. You know, you've been calling it now for 4 weeks. Or you've been calling this trick play or unbalanced or whatever it is, right? So, yes, put those – don't wait. Just like situational football, you know, build the whole thing. Build everything you can and put it right there in install one. Then install two, build what you want in install two.
Getting into some of those special situations, things like the 2-minute drill, last plays. Maybe it's, you know, running a play to center a ball. I know you leave no stone unturned in going through and making sure your players know exactly what to do in every situation. They're going to know those. You're going to have those in. So how do you start to install those special situation type of things and making sure that over the course of camp, we're ready to roll in game one? We're not going to come up and say, hey, we need to center the ball. And the guys are like, what the hell are you talking about, coach?
Okay, so I'm going to have three install. Let's just say hypothetically, right?
Right.
In my 20-some days, I'm going to have three days of install one. I'm going to have 3 days of install two. I'm going to have 3 days of install three. Okay? Now I have my three emphasis days, right? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what? 12? That's right there was what? 3, 6, 9. Was that 12? That's 12 practices. 12 practices. You may get four rolls of install one. I don't know. I'm just throwing these numbers out, right? But remember, we said we want install one, install two, install three, then an emphasis day. Okay. So say you have four emphasis days on your calendar, right? As you build your calendar for camp. Okay. Well, that's when you start. Okay. Well, shoot. Hey. Okay. I need to teach jump middle. I need to teach jump. I need to teach. You know, last play of the game. I want to put in a gotta have it. I want to put in it's 4th and 9 at the 9, and like, I got one play to win the football game, whatever it is, right? 2 minutes. Another one is 4 minutes, or maybe it's coming off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm at the -1 coming out. That's what those emphasis days are, because on those emphasis days, I may be pulling plays from any one of the three installs. I mean,
yep.
So in other words, I may have an emphasis day. I may have a tight zone in there. I might have a stretch play in there. I may have, you know, different pass concepts. So I don't want to be tied. So it's just kind of, that's kind of what those days are for, to work on the 2 minute situational football. Two point play. Right.
Yeah.
Those type of things.
Right. I know you talked about, you know, putting together your essentially what would be a call sheet for each practice. Are you scripting what you're going to run in that practice, or do you call it based on some of the situations that you're giving that come up? I've heard a lot of guys recently talking about liking the idea of knowing here's our calls for this practice, but I'm going to call it like I do in a game. And essentially as that coach, you're getting the practice of play calling as well. How do you handle that, and any recommendations on that for coaches?
Just like that. So I would just say we're on install one. Okay. I'm going to have my call sheet, and I'm going to, what the one thing I have started doing, which I like, is what I think sometimes, at least I know I was bad at, but the most important play is the first play of a drive. You know, once we make the first down, our scoring average goes way up. It's always making that first down when you're a tempo offense to kind of get things going. So on my call sheet, whatever the install runs or passes are for that day, I'm going to pull my P and 10 calls. So I'm going to have, you know, three or four. These are my start my drive calls. Okay. Then I'm going to have just kind of my, you know, openers, my first and second downs underneath there. And usually it's a list of, after those four P and 10s, usually it's a list of, you know, 10 runs off of that install, 10 to 12 runs, and then probably, you know, 8 to 10 passes, and then a screen and whatever. So that's all put on the call sheet, all right? And then if there's third down, so then, hey, what's the third down? Which of these plays would I call on third down? So I would pull those plays over, and I'd put them under my third down and call, or red zone. Or maybe on that day's practice you aren't going to work red zone, then I don't have red zone. Or maybe it's a red zone day and not a third down day. Yeah. So whatever, I'm going to pull those over and have those on my call sheet. And then like what Coach Summon does a good job of, most of our team periods I like is that we'll start, some will just do team, put it down, let's play. Then a lot of it, though, is okay, it's 2nd and 7, all right? I'm going to call 2nd and 7. I'm going to call whatever ends up on third down. And if we make a first down, I'm going to run a tempo play, which I think is one of the best team periods there is. So if it's 2nd and 7, say I call a run, and it's 3rd and 1, all right, what's my 3rd and 1 call? And if I make the first, I'm going right to one of my tempo calls in that install. Or it's 3rd and 7, and we fumble around the snap or whatever, so, I mean, second and seven, and say it ends up where we get hit for a loss, and it's third and nine. Hey, what's my third and nine call? All right, make a first down tempo. So it's a good for a play caller to have to practice during practices, to practice team situations like that.
Coach, looking at what a daily practice looks like during camp, during this install period, in general, how are you guys breaking that up between, you know, your individual period, seven on sevens, inside run, team, et cetera? What does the schedule look like for you daily?
We come out before we start anything, stretch or anything, we're going to have our walkthrough. So basically everything that's on that install, we want to walk through before practice starts. Anything that's on that call sheet, if it could get called that day, I want to walk through it. Okay. And then you go stretch and the whole deal, special teams. And my indie, quarterback indie, usually happens during special team periods. And then we go to a fast start where fast start deal with the offense, kind of get us going, then a pat and go, and then some individual time backfield. So that's usually like a 20 to 30 minute period right there. So you know, the receivers are maybe 5 minutes, they're working their little cone drills, and then my guys are coming down and we're throwing whatever route concepts that are in that day. Then the running back's in his individual. Then the running back coach goes to the backfield, and my guys will go down there and we'll work on the whatever, just the runs that are going in that day. All right. So we're not working counter footwork if it's install one. We're working tight zone footwork out of pistol or offset or whatever, or on that day. And then from there, all right, we do a now obviously spring's different than fall because spring we're just going against the defense. But in that next period, we're going to have three team periods that are broken up. All right. And usually they go 10. Usually it's going to go like 8 to 10 minute team period. Okay. Then we're going to have a skelly that's by numbers of plays. So, hey, today we got 24 plays skelly. The next day we may only have a 12 play skelly because it's a red zone day. Or maybe this day there's a 16 play skelly because it's a third down day. So whatever, we're going to gauge that way. And then we always have some sort of competitive period where it's going to be offensive kids against defensive kids. And it could be, you know, one-on-one pass blocking by the backs and by the whole line. Usually it's half line for maybe the linebackers in the corners and safeties is half line against the offense. So something competitive like that.
Coach, with your – you know, your seven-on-seven periods, are you still using that approach of you calling the play based on the situation, or do you script your passes out?
Nope. They call it. We move the ball, and they call it, and it moves hashes. It moves where the ball's spotted. So as a play caller, you get a chance to work. Now, if it's just a 24-play, well, I know 24-play skellies are normal down and distance, right? So I know it's either first to 10 or second and, you know, five or six, seven, whatever, it's normal down. So I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of working on whatever the install is for that day, you know, there with the formations, and we're just kind of lining up, communicating, and we're tempoing it, and we're moving that. We always move, you know, 8 yards during every skelly down the field. All right. When we're going team, we always move that. So anytime we're team, skelly, any of that stuff, we're moving the ball down the field. It's getting spotted, moving down the field. Now, if it's a 12-play, skelly, then I know, okay, that's a third. That's maybe the red zone skelly. Okay, so I'm calling off my red zone call sheet, and it worked. Those I script the down and distance. So now the guy setting the ball knows it goes like 20, 15, 10, 5. You know, left, middle, right, middle, or whatever. And then if it's third down, all right, now we know, okay, when it's third down, that's 16 plays, that's four sets of four, and it's third and medium, third and long, third and medium, third and long. So we know that. So I want my guys to understand that what plays are getting called in every situation, and I want my players to know it is situational. We're not just running plays. It's not like seven on seven. All right. We're throwing these plays because every one of these things I'm calling, it's third and 4 to 6, guys. So if I throw a snag route, you better get your ass, you better tight turn it and get me a first down. It's third and 9, quarterback, right? We got to extend the ball down the field a little bit. So I want them to know the situation.
Coach, I know in my approach, I was very cognizant of the amount of reps we would get in practice and where I was putting those reps. So in that regard, I scripted a lot of what I was doing. But looking at it now, I really see the value in being able to call a practice like that, like you would in a game. So from that perspective, being someone who would be really worried about, am I getting this enough work? Because I believe in the cumulative effect of reps over the course of the install, over the course of the season. Do you have someone who's charting those things for you and keeping track of that, knowing that, hey, we didn't get enough of this in install one, we're going to have to get more in install two, or we're going to have to get it on day four? In that regard, do you have something that gives you the quality control?
Yeah. And usually, like I'll make the call sheet, and usually my O-line coach, he'll actually call my team run stuff, and my receivers coach will call Skelly, and then I kind of can kind of check off. I'll stand back there and behind the quarterbacks, and then I kind of check off what's getting called. And so then I can say, hey, guys, hey, you guys didn't hit any verticals. We haven't run enough, we haven't run enough macho or marine, tight zone man. So I can kind of, tell those guys, I can kind of gauge it. And then when they come back, we will kind of self-scout that or kind of keep track of, how many times we're calling this stuff in each practice. So when we hit next install one, we know, hey, this install one, we need to really lean a little bit more on our man schemes out of tight zone. Or, hey, we didn't throw enough mesh or whatever. So you guys kind of – let's hit mesh a little bit more.
Coach, I've seen more and more teams looking at their run periods and going to a more team run and using – their play action or the things that protect the run, calling those plays in there as well, could be the RPO, could be coming some of your key screens, et cetera. Are you guys looking more at doing a lot of inside run versus the 11 on 11 run focus periods?
No, team, I hate 9 on 7. No, it's team run. So basically what team run is, we know it's always a first down. Okay. So we're not thinking situationally. The defensive guy, I call them defense isn't, calling it like it's third and two, right? He's calling like it's first down, my first down, first and second medium calls. So that's kind of where we are. And then say we're going to take a 4-play rep with the team in that. So we're thinking, all right, we want, three runs and a play action, kind of that along that line. We're going to get our throws off that, off the RPO game. But yeah, it's more kind of just base football. But now if we wanted to go, like you said, the 9 on 7 or where it's just the line and the back and the deep front, there's no secondary receivers, then that would fall into one of our competitive periods.
Got it.
Like your DBs and those guys go 1-on-1. That would be, we call them pods. That would be their, they would pod up on that. And we would maybe, if they had, we're not tough enough. We need to go run into each other for a while, then we'll go do that. But there's so much of our offense is built on conflict defenders, our quarterback reading conflict guys and all that type of stuff, that 9 on 7 is really, I'm detraining my quarterback.
Right. Yeah, I always love the 9-on-7 period where that safety was making the tackle at 3 yards. Like, that just doesn't happen. If you're doing that, I'm throwing touchdowns on you.
That's what 9-on-7, nobody knows this, but years ago, the 9-on-7 drill is what invented RPO. Like, screw it, I'm just going to throw it.
Yeah, I could see that. And it's interesting, too, the NFL has just banned that. The half line, some of the Oklahoma drills, et cetera. I was actually a little bit surprised to not see 9-on-7 drill ban, but I'm sure there'd be a lot of offensive line coaches screaming in there. But, I do think with the way the game is played today, and really, even if you're a team that just runs the football and throws play actions, drop back, not an RPO team, there's still value in being able to get the exact kind of keys you're going to get on game day rather than being in a period where someone can cheat on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, so when we go pods, it's going to be they're going to have, you know, we're going to have six blockers, and they're going to be in a 4-2 front, and we're just, you know, who cares if we're going to bounce, you know, well, the safety will make that play. Or the corner, well, okay, I get it. You know, you can't, you know, it's a pod. It's not, you know, some teams are going to win, but we're just looking for to get six hats on six hats.
Exactly. Well, Coach, I appreciate all that information on the install. This one kind of goes away from that. I've had a lot of interest recently, a lot of coaches asking me about, you know, what you guys call Fast Friday, or that whole concept of we're going to take a day off, and for at the college level, that would be Thursdays where, you know, like you said, you're sweeping the corners. It is not a physical day. I think I've heard it called No Sweat Thursdays. High school, this would be essentially on Wednesdays. In fact, I talked to Gabe Fertitta, who's at Catholic High School in Baton Rouge, and he said they're going to that, you know, at the high school level, Wednesdays are not going to be a physical day for them, and they're going to come back day before a game and really get after it. I know that's something you believe in and you guys have been doing. First of all, the benefits of doing it that way, what do you see the benefits are?
I think what we saw, what we have seen is that it just kind of in a grander scope is that I felt that my guys during the season were a lot fresher, especially towards the end of the season. I didn't think our speeds dropped as much as they had before. I don't think our speeds dropped as much on game day either. I think we maintained our speed on that. It also gave me a day during the week, like our No Sweat Thursday, or if you're in high school, Wednesday, where, you know, it's kind of a silent day for us too, where we're getting a true good dose of signaling, you know, alignments, ID and defenses, the whole thing, it's kind of like a dress rehearsal. Okay. And look at it that way. So, and then if there was, you know, mistakes, hey, I didn't feel bad. Like, okay, let's do that one. Hey, we need to see that one again or whatever. So kind of sweeping the corners, kind of making sure, okay, everybody knows what dancer means, and everybody knows what this and et cetera. Here's our third down play, the whole thing. It's third and 15. What's our thinking in this game? So it lets you kind of just bring it all together from the Monday, Tuesday practice, bring it all together and this kind of low stress, and the kids weren't like running their ass off. And then Friday, then you rev it up. I mean, you're rolling and you're going as fast as you possibly can go. And I think, you know, the whole neurology thing and all the kinesiology of it and all that, I don't really understand that much. Okay. But, you know, the whole thing about, hey, we need to go full speed on Friday. And now we're not a lot there long, 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, it's not, you know, we probably get total team reps at full speed on a Friday is probably 42 plays. That's it. But they're 42 as fast as you can go. And supposedly your nervous system, it keeps your nervous system going. And then you hit the next day and you're ready to go. But the biggest thing was that in that I really saw our speeds. So we've actually even taken that into practice also, which has been good. So in other words, we kind of tell our kids, here's what, now a lot of high schools, I understand you don't have catapult and GPS and all that stuff, but you can still talk to your kids about it. We have what we call green periods in practice. Okay. That's kind of like Fast Friday. So you're going through Indy, and Indy's not green, and you're just, you know, cause you're standing in lines and you're doing drills or you're doing a backfield or whatever, but we'll hit some team periods, all right, where we tell the guys, all right, this is green. For 18, 16 reps, this is green period. So this is as fast as you can go, and this is, you know, you guys got to try to hit your top speed, okay? You can't, you know, because you go through the whole week of practice, and you get to Saturday, and if a kid has not hit his top speed, and the first time he tries to hit his top speed is in a game, all right, that's when injuries, soft tissue injuries happen, things like that. So we have those periods actually in our practice, and then Friday is built for that. And then also the other thing is for Friday, which is good on green periods and Friday, is your guys that are substitute. If you're a tempo team, your guys that are substituting your receivers and your backs, they get a feel for, okay, this kid can go three plays, and then, man, I need to get somebody in there for him. Or, hey, he just ran two go routes. Hey, he's out. So it also helps you to work on, all right, who's going in next? Who's the next guy in? Your guys are throwing in your substitution. They can kind of, it's game-like, so they can kind of practice that part of it.
You kind of answered it, I believe, and I'm sure I kind of know the answer anyway. I'm thinking about that traditional practice week where it's physical, physical, physical all the way up, and then you have that late day on the day before the game, that I'm sure with taking that physical kind of break too, but putting the emphasis on mental, those guys really come back pretty sharp, not just from their legs and looking fresh physically, that you see a mental sharpness on your Fast Friday as well.
Oh, 100%. And then that Fast Friday is our, so say it'd be your Fast Thursday, right? Fast Thursday if you're playing on Friday. So Fast Thursday, and then before the game, like at the hotel or wherever, then that's the film we watch. So we watch the Fast Friday film right before the game. So we can the guys can see themselves going full speed.
Coach, I'm wondering if, you know, the challenge, looking at the high school coach who's not two platoon, they're playing guys both ways. They got to get Owen D in on a Fast Friday. The idea would not be to, I'm going to get all of those, let's say, 42 offensive reps. I'm probably going to have to cut that in half and really pay attention to the timeout on the field. That is probably one of the keys of making that work, that you're not out there too long. Is that correct?
Yes, and so one of the things I used to do is if I was didn't have enough, you know, only got like 13 guys on offense or whatever, and I'd do my Fast Friday, the drives would start probably with a plus 35, mm-hmm. Okay? And then I got a guy spotting the ball, so it would be like plus 35, plus 30, hey, one at the 20, one at the 5, bam, you guys are out. All right, there's a Fast Friday, okay? And then obviously you just don't have enough manpower, all right? Then they would kind of jog back, come to the sideline. I'd talk to them a little bit. All right. Let's roll another one. All right. So we roll another four play drive, or a three play drive, or a five play drive. All right. But just not making them run long distances. Right.
Right. So it's just more shorter, simulated drives. You're going to know, hey, we're putting the ball here. This is the situation. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, I know you got. Got to get out there and get some pool time today. So I appreciate you.
You're cutting into my pool time, Steve.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your pool time today to talk ball with us and really get deep on the installation here. I'm sure coaches will get a lot out of this one.
I hope it helps somebody. But, hey, thanks, and holler at me later. All right?
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Coach.
All right, Steve. See ya. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as three free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis, articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.